Wow. I don't know quite if I can lift Thor's hammer, but that would be... Yes, I can. So if I do, I will happily let y'all know and let Matthew know. But last night, my wife Christina here and I and my older brother and his wife went and saw Shang-Chi last night, just staying on the Marvel theme. It was wonderful. You should go see it. You should go see it. Any fans of Marvel? All right. So that was a good time, and I'm excited to be here. Thanks, Matthew, for that introduction. And man, wielding Thor's hammer, that would be quite a day. I would enjoy that. I'm not going to lie. My name is Micah, like he said, and I just get the joy and the honor of being one of the pastors, along with Megan and Phil and a host of incredible Campus Men people that just get to serve and be alongside you guys and uplift you and encourage you as we all endeavor to follow Jesus well. And so I am honored and excited to be here. If I haven't met you, I would genuinely love to just to get to know you and hear about what God's doing in your heart and how your summer was and what classes you're taking. We all have stories. And it's something we were actually talking about in campus ministries maybe 2 weeks ago. Like, we all have stories. And what the experiences that we've carried, there's such depth to each one of us. If you think about your life, there's so much that has gone on that has made who you are. And that same thing is for every person in this room. Every person, like, there's so much depth to you. And to getting to know one another is such a great opportunity. And be a part of a life group. Get to know one another and do community well. And so we down for that? You guys want to do that? Get together? Come on. So I'm excited to kick off our Kingdom of series. We may or may not have the graphic of it coming up behind me. And so for the next several weeks, we're going to be diving into this series called Kingdom of. And it is, we're going to look at different elements of the kingdom of God. And we're switching it up. If you were a part of Northwest last year or previous years, we've done Mondays are a series, Wednesdays are a series, and Fridays are a series. Nothing wrong with that model. We just kind of wanted to try something a little different. So Mondays is staying the same. If you were here on Monday, you heard Dr. Ziefel talk about the Sermon on the Mount. It was awesome. And so we're going to have that for the whole entire semester, Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. And that's going to be student speakers from the College of Ministry speaking and encouraging our community. So that's on Mondays. And then for the month of September, on Wednesdays and Fridays, we're going through the Kingdom of series. And that's going to be one series on Wednesdays and Fridays per month. Y'all tracking along? So on September, it's going to be Kingdom of, which we're starting today. In October, we're calling it Missions Month, and we're going to dive into so many elements of the mission of God, the Missio Dei, our local community, all that kind of stuff. And then in November, we're diving into stories from the Bible, from the book of Exodus, which is going to be so fun to dive into those stories. And then the last few weeks of December, before Christmas break, we're going to talk about Advent on those Wednesdays and Fridays. And so I'm really excited, just kind of a little change up, you know. Sometimes it's nice to just change it up a little bit. And so I want to give you a little sneak peek of what's coming up in this series. So I do know we have a slide about that coming up, and it's going to show us what's coming ahead in this Kingdom of God series, our Kingdom of series. So today, I'm talking about the Kingdom of God, which is going to be super fun. Coming up, we have Kingdom of Truth, Kingdom of Reconciliation, Kingdom of Loving Relationships, Kingdom of Holiness, Kingdom of Justice, Kingdom of Generosity, Kingdom of Sabbath, and lastly, Kingdom of Practice-Based Faith. So that's literally the next Wednesdays and Fridays for the entire month of September. We're going to be going through those. So don't miss out. We really want to intentionally start this year thinking and looking at what is the kingdom of God like? What are the attributes and the characteristics of God's kingdom? Because we say all the time, we're becoming like Jesus. You'll hear me and you'll hear other people say that all the time. And so we wanted to tangibly look at what are those characteristics? What is the kingdom of God like that is available in here for us? So I'm excited for that. So today we're talking about the kingdom of God. And a little thing I have, this series is intended and designed to show us what the kingdom of God is like. And we are invited to trust Jesus and live into the lifestyle, the rhythms, the habits, and the practices of Jesus as we become more like him. Amen? Amen. So that's going to be super fun. I'm really excited for that, and we're kicking that off today. If you wouldn't mind standing with me, we are going to read God's word to kick off this morning. We're starting in Mark, the Gospel of Mark, in the very first chapter. So it's starting in, it's going to be on the screen behind me here. Mark chapter 1, verse 15, it says this. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. As he, who is Jesus, passed alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, Simon's brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Follow me, Jesus told them, and I will make you fish for people. Immediately, they left their nets and they followed Jesus. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for your scripture and for just your word that is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword that is that we get to carry with us, God. And as part of the armor of God, I pray your protection over my brothers and sisters, God, as we put on righteousness and peace and salvation and truth and faith, God, as we endeavor to follow you well. And so would you bless this? May these words, Holy Spirit, be truth and be yours. And would you speak through me, God, because you are the one that changes people. God, you are the one that speaks life and encourages. And you know what each individual, all of us are walking through. And God, you can tailor make that for each one of us. And so we love you so much. Would you be with us? We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. Starting in high school, I used to run cross country. Might not look like it, totally get it. COVID and first year of marriage, maybe, you know, not the physique I used to be in, but I used to run cross country in high school. And it was actually so much fun. And kind of when I look back at that time, what sticks out to me was my soon-to-be coach, who was my coach, kind of looked at me and said, hey, Micah, just come and give it a try. I loved, you know, sports. I was playing basketball. I loved soccer at the time, or football on the pitch if you're a purist. Like, I loved those sports. And the coach was just like, hey, Micah, just come give it a try. So I did it, and I ended up honestly loving cross country. I had so much fun. I ran it in high school, and then just end up going to state, not to brag, went to state in cross country. It was a small Christian school, so it's really not that impressive. And I think kind of the parallel to that is today, as we read into the scripture, my invitation is come and see what God can do. You might end up, I promise you, discovering the best thing. Come into this journey. And I think a lot of you are already there, so keep going on this journey. Keep coming. Let's encourage one another as we follow Jesus well. Now I am not a cross-country runner. Can't even run a mile. So we're going to jump in and look through this passage in Mark, frame by frame, shot by shot, and see what the scripture has for us. Does that sound good? See what the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us and encourage us. So the first one is this. It says, the time is fulfilled. Beginning of Mark, he says, the time is fulfilled. Israel had been waiting for the promised and expected Messiah. They were looking forward to God coming and intervening. And Jesus says, that expectation, I am the fulfillment of that. God had promised to David a kingdom that would never end, a kingdom that was everlasting, that would go on, and that king would reign and rule for all eternity. And Jesus says, I am the fulfillment of that. God had promised to Abraham, the father Abraham, many sons. Yeah, you don't sing it. You guys know that. So God had promised to Abraham that he was going to bless all of the nations of the world. Through the offspring of Abraham, everybody, which includes us right here in this room, we're going to be blessed through the offspring of Abraham. And Jesus says, I am the fulfillment of that. God had promised and through Isaiah and through Daniel, we get prophecies of this Messiah who was going to come and who was going to suffer and take our place. And Jesus said, I am the fulfillment of that. And it's such a beautiful picture as the Gospel of Mark has literally just begun. Jesus says, I have been who you are waiting for. I have been who you are waiting for. But to be honest, Jesus did not meet the Jewish people at the time, their expectation. Jesus was not what they were expecting. They were looking forward to someone coming and overthrowing the Roman Empire, coming in the very physical sense to establish a kingdom right then and right now. And Jesus was lowly and humble and meek. And he died on a cross. And he was not at all what they were expecting. And obviously, God's ways are so much higher than our ways. And we have 2,000 years to look back and to see, obviously, what Jesus was doing and bearing the sins of humanity through that death and that resurrection on the cross. But at the time, they were like, this is not what we were expecting. And I think oftentimes, as we endeavor on this journey, sometimes God doesn't work the way we expect him to. I think sometimes in our lives, maybe for the last 2 years, maybe your high school experience, God did not work the way you were expecting him to. Now that doesn't mean he wasn't absent. God is working and moving in your life, even if it doesn't look like what you were expecting. Jesus says, I am the fulfillment. The time is fulfilled. God's ways are higher than our ways. Amen. So coming on to that next phrase, it says, the kingdom of God has come near. I love this phrase. The kingdom of God, the entirety of God's rule and reign, and obviously God rules and reigns over everything, but God's kingdom has come near. And what I love about this is kind of the direction that it's really intending to highlight. It is God coming to us. The kingdom of God is coming near. It's not you running towards the kingdom of God. It's not me running towards and grasping the kingdom of God. It is God's kingdom coming near to you. I think someone in here needs to know God's kingdom is coming near to you today. It is Jesus who comes to us. It is God who moves towards us, who moves in our spirit, who works in us to move towards us. It is God who initiates. Jesus is pursuing you. I know we have pursuit nights on Monday nights. Come next Monday, our first pursuit. We worship God and we pursue the God who has pursued us. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. No matter what your life looks like, friend, you are not disqualified from the kingdom of God. You are not too far out beyond the kingdom of God coming near and working in your heart, in your life, in your family, in your grades, in your past, in your future. God says, you are not disqualified. I am not disqualified. I don't care what you have done. God is moving towards you and forgives you and brings new life and restoration. I love in the parable of the two brothers, commonly known as the parable of the prodigal son, we get this picture of God the Father running towards him. And as we start this school year, and as you, it's a beautiful start of a new season. God sees you and he's running towards you. The kingdom of God is running towards us. God, it is on him. He is the initiator. He is the mover. He is doing the heavy lifting, and he's coming towards you. I felt when we were worshiping that the presence of God was here. There was some joy in this room. Amen? Were you feeling that? And I felt the Holy Spirit kind of just put on my heart while we were worshiping. And I wanted to share it with you. I felt the Lord say, Micah, you need to share this. There is an element of the fruit of the Spirit that was working. And I just really felt the Lord say that. And it's a part, and I put it here because it's that element of the kingdom of God coming. Fruit is a byproduct of the plant. And as we sow in, as Jesus gives us, as we abide in the vine, abide in me, remain in me, and you will experience much fruit. Friends, I think that was a foretaste of the fruit of God. I think that was a foretaste of what God wants to move and work and the fruit in your life. I think that was the response of faithfulness. That was the response of faith in people's life, saying, God, I want you. I'm coming out of this, and we get to gather together. And friends, we gather together to encourage one another. We don't always gather. I had this huge shift in my brain probably 3, maybe 4 years ago. I was probably my senior year of here at Northwest. And I used to depend on, without realizing it, a preacher to teach me the Bible. I used to depend on my local church pastor and people up here to teach me the Bible. I didn't realize it. And I had this epiphany from a meeting with a friend. He was like, Micah, we need to own. He's like, he was more direct. He's like, Micah, you need to own your faith. And you need to abide in the vine and not be dependent upon other people to grow you. And it was life-changing. And it wasn't in a shame and it wasn't in a condemnation way. It was this invitation. Friends, there is daily food here that you need to be enjoying, be diving into. And so the kingdom of God moves towards us. Next one here is repent. Moving right along in this phrase. Repentance. And I love how Jesus includes this. Obviously, Jesus knows what we need. He is working and moving. He understands. Repentance is turning away from our sin and turning towards God. As the kingdom of God comes near to us, as the Father runs to us, our posture and our response, at first, we are going to recognize our sinful and brokenness. As we see the holy and beautiful, magnificent, awe-inspiring, wonder God, we are going to see our sin. Isaiah says we are like filthy rags in front of God. Our best day is filthy rags, actually is what he says. Our best efforts to impress and to please God are like filthy rags. And I know that we don't like to think about that very much, especially now that we've been saved. And obviously, we're going to get to the good news that comes right after this. But we must stop and recognize our sinfulness. We must stop and recognize the brokenness and the depravity that we all walk in. And when I say sinfulness, I don't want you, follow me on this thought, I don't want you to think of somebody else. When you hear sinner and sinful, I don't want you to think of a different group of people. I don't want you to think of your roommate. I don't want you to think of somebody else. It's so easy, myself included, to think and recognize of all the other flaws, to see everything else and not recognize that self within me. When you think of sin for a moment, think about yourself. Let the weight of my and your and our brokenness hit you for a second. Paul says, and this is going to be on the screen behind me, in Romans chapter 7, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me, for I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Jumping to 21, so I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's word. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God who delivers me from Jesus Christ, delivers me, Jesus Christ our Lord. I highlight this passage because Paul does a great job of illustrating that depravity and the brokenness that all of us have. This is Paul, who we revere as followers of Jesus, who wrote most of the New Testament. We know Paul understood how to love and to follow Jesus, and he recognizes we cannot carry that out all the time. There is a other war. There is another thing battling and raging against us, and I think some of us need to know that there is spiritual forces that oppose us at the same time. It says in Ephesians that it is... He's talking right before about the armor of God and how there are things that oppose us, spiritual forces in darkness that oppose us, that are fighting against us, and we need the armor of God. But thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Repentance is that posture of humility and recognizing our brokenness and need for Jesus. Not a shame thing, not a guilt, not a sitting in that forever, because that's not the goal. But when we recognize and humble and turn and say, God, I need you, beautiful things can happen. And I have found over my years of trying to follow Jesus well, I have found that God often brings me to the end of myself. God brings me to a spot where I have to say, God, I can't do it anymore. God, I physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, don't have the capacity to do this on my own, and I so in my sinful nature want to do it all by myself, but I can't. And God brings us to a spot where we have to say, God, I need you. And he is running towards us. The kingdom of God is running towards us. But as we jump to the next one, friends, there is good news. Jesus says, repent and believe the good news. Friends, Jesus is the good news, and God has reconciled a way back to humanity. We can be in relationship and live the life abundantly with Jesus. When the kingdom of God moves towards you, it is not just, hey, believe in Jesus and you're gonna go to heaven, though that is phenomenal news. That is great news. I can't wait for that. Jesus says, I am giving you life and life abundantly today. I am working in you for that depravity, for that stuff that we don't like to talk about, the insecurities, the emotional unhealth, the doubt, the fears, the wounds from families and friends and church leaders and people. God says, I want to come in and bring healing and give you life right now, not just when you go to heaven. Far too often in our Protestant theology, we just think about, I'm saved, I got it, I'm checked off the box, I'm going to heaven one day. And we don't think about how God is inviting us into the abundant life right now. Friends, I want you to experience the incredible life of following Jesus today. The kingdom of God is where we can see revival in our lives. I want you to be revived and made new in Jesus. I want to see your family healed and whole. I want to see addictions through the power of the Holy Spirit broken in your life today. Today's a good day for a miracle. I want to see mental health and mental illness through the power of the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God broken as God invades your heart and your life. Again, we're not thinking about other people. We're thinking about ourselves, how much we need and desire and how God's the best thing for us. Friends, I work here at Northwest because I love to see young people again and again fall in love with Jesus. 100%. It's not like I'm getting the best pay in the world. Not bad pay either, but it's not like I get the best pay in the world. I'm not dogging Northwest at all. I work here because I want to see you fall in love with Jesus. I work here because I want to see the dots connect in your heart and in your eyes as you come out of being in your parents' house, which is a great thing, and you get to come and be an adult and you get to fall in love with Jesus all for yourself. You get to walk and eventually raise a family that loves Jesus and carry on that legacy. I want you to experience that, and that is why I work here, to be honest. And the kingdom of God is working and moving. It's not about me at all. God is working and moving, and the Holy Spirit is inviting you into that today. Which jumps into the next part of the verses. Jesus says, follow me. He went up to the disciples. He announced the kingdom of God is here, that it is coming and moving, and repent and believe it. And so we've repented, we've believed, and now we follow. We recognize our sin, we recognize our brokenness, we see the kingdom of God, we see the goodness, and we start experiencing that healing and that brokenness. And then Jesus says, follow me. And we say, yes. I pray that you say yes to following Jesus. In Matthew 16, 25, Jesus says, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of me will find it. Friend, the best life is following Jesus. And it's going to cost you losing your life, but you're going to gain so much more than you've ever even thought possible. Your family is going to grow so much more than you ever thought possible. Your friendships are going to grow and develop so much more than you ever thought possible as we follow Jesus and as we lose our life to find his, to find life in him. When John's talking about this same idea of Jesus calling his disciples, Jesus goes up to two of his disciples. After he says, follow me, they ask where Jesus is staying. And they say, Jesus says, come and see. This invitation, not just to believe, this invitation into a life. Come and see what I'll do. Come and see how I'm going to heal in your heart. Come and see how I'm going to bring restoration to your family. Come and see how I'm going to work in your local church. Come and see what I want to do at Northwest with these people, with us today. Jesus is looking at me and you, and he's saying, come and see all that I will do. Come and see everything and who I am. Paul says, I believe it's in Philippians, he says, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing value of knowing Christ. The surpassing value of being in relationship with Christ. Everything. That Tesla that you're dreaming of, loss. Tesla would be great one day. It's a loss compared to knowing Jesus. That job that I pray you get after you graduate with a great education from Northwest is a loss compared to knowing Jesus. Jesus even daringly says our families are a loss compared to knowing him. There is nothing that is more valuable than knowing Jesus, and that kingdom is moving towards you and me today. And he says, follow me into it. So will you follow Jesus today? And to wrap up the last part, because it doesn't stop there. It's almost done, but it doesn't quite stop there. Jesus says, I will make you fish for people. I will make you fish for other people. This is not just about me and you. It's not just about God restoring your life, though I'm believing for that. As that becomes a reality, you get to bring other people into that. You get to fish for other people. You get to tell about the goodness of Jesus. And I think a lot of preachers will say, go talk about Jesus. Or a lot of just pastors and friends. And they're meaning so well. And oftentimes, we can almost have a shame that we don't talk about Jesus more. And I don't want you to feel that. I don't want you to walk out of here and be like, I need to go tell somebody about Jesus because I was told to. Friends, I pray it is an overflowing of you abiding in the vine with Jesus. It is an overflowing of you spending time daily eating his bread. It is an overflowing because you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good and you want somebody else to. It is not designed to be just for ourselves. You can't give something you don't have. You can't give and fish for people if you have not been caught. And so my encouragement, if you're like, man, I'm not even quite sure I'm there, that is okay. Say, Jesus, I need to dive into you and experience that for myself this year. You might be like, I came to Northwest because that's what I wanted. I wanted to be in a community that strives after Jesus. I wanted to be with people. And if you're not seeing that, then make it happen. And talk to other people to encourage you in that process. Fishing for people is an overflow of the joy of being caught by Jesus. So what would your life look like if you said yes to following Jesus? His kingdom has moved towards you. He has said, come and see. Come and taste. Oh, Lord is good. If you wouldn't mind standing with me today, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to that. With eyes closed, if you want to follow Jesus, and I'm not saying accept him, though, if that's part of it, just raise your hand and come talk to me. But if you want to recommit and say, God, I want to follow you this semester. If the Holy Spirit is moving in you and he's saying, come and see what I'm going to do in your life. If you are sensing that God has more for you and the kingdom of God is so deep and so rich and it is vast and wide and it's for you. If you want that again today, would you just raise your hand right now? Would you just raise your hand? My hand's up. God, I want that and I need that. Oh, Jesus, we see hands on this place. God, we want more of who you are. God, we want more of what you have. And God, you are moving towards us. You are pursuing us. And we say yes to that invitation. You can put your hands down. Would you just pray with me? God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for my friends and my friends and family and everybody here, Jesus, my brothers and sisters. Holy Spirit, I sense you are working and moving in hearts. You're inviting us to come and see, to taste and smell, to know you, to follow you, to count it all as a loss compared to you. And God, would you give us our hearts to say yes to that and bring people around us to encourage us in that process. God, we love you and we cannot do this without you. In the name of Jesus, everybody said, amen. Amen. Friends, if you raised your hand, I would say talk to somebody today. Encourage, be encouraged by other people. Amen.